Hey guys, I just want to start out by thanking you for listening to this first episode of Gabbin' Like Gals. My idea was to have a conversation with people from the New York comedy community about comedy life, how we got to where we are, and where we're hoping to go. My first guest was Mariola Figueroa, and I met her at Upright Citizens Brigade, which is an improv and sketch comedy theater and school, both in LA and New York. We do talk about Harold and Lloyd teams, which if you're unfamiliar with Upright Citizens Brigade, those are the teams that they're the house teams which perform regularly at the theaters. I highly recommend checking out the website or going to some shows if you are unfamiliar with UCB. I am very new to this, so I'm like totally like sorry about all the likes, and I'm working on it, I promise. I want to give a little shout out to Pete Holmes, who I don't know personally, but inspired this podcast because I love his, and I totally stole the name Gabbin' Like Gals from his podcast. You can check out my Twitter at Liz Lorinsky. And if you have any questions or want to contact me, gabbinlikegals.com is where to do that. I really hope you enjoy this. Here's Mariola Figueroa. If we come up on anything that's interesting.
Okay. Should I say it again? What happened?
You can if you want to. No, I'm always afraid of like whenever somebody pisses me off in New York of like getting into like any argument with them, because you never know who has like a knife or a stun gun or like is gonna hurt you. I'm like terrified.
Full on. I guess it's like, I guess growing up in Puerto Rico, like prepare me for that.
Yeah.
Being like just a wuss on the street and like not like I have so many like fantasies about like just like punching people or things like that, but
well, I was an angry kid.
Oh yeah,
you know, like
you seem like an angry kid.
That's awesome. No, I was like a really angry kid. I like in middle school, this boy was mean to me, and so I waited until he was going to get like a drink of water from the water fountain, and I smashed his head into the water fountain, like. Awful.
Did he bleed?
I don't think he bled, but I think I just went up like a psychopath, smashed his head, and then walked away. Like, who is that? That's awful.
I mean, that's ballsy. I wish I was able to do it.
But now I just think I realized that like it doesn't like nothing fucking matters anymore. Like,
yeah.
You have to be like, ugh, whatever.
Like this lady who hit the kid. Like, she could have just like been like. She could have screamed at the kid being like, you don't do that and things like that. But when she went physical with a kid, it's like, now you're lost.
Christian Capizzoli told me the story about he was like walking on the street and some bum like threw a big cup full of soda at like a newsstand. And Christian was like texting and didn't see what was going on. And like the soda hits the newsstand and like comes down on his like this giant big gulp just all down his body. And Christian's just like, yep. He's like, I don't know if that was like a moment of zen for me or like my rock bottom. Like,
It takes a lot for someone to just like have like a shitty thing happen to them and not do anything.
And not do anything.
I feel like those are the people who are very happy in their lives.
Yeah.
Because this lady who just got hit, I was talking to then obviously like all the community.
Yeah,
like,
we became like
a family.
yep.
And especially like the people, like everyone transferred to another bus, and like everyone was like, "What's going on?" And we were all talking what happened in the other bus, and like these two Dominican ladies were talking in Spanish, and I'm like, I'm jumping in. And they're like in their because I saw everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I jumped in their conversation, and I told the lady, I was like. That lady must have had something very shitty happen to him or something that she got really angry and she completely took it out on this kid.
Well, that's what, like, do you, when did you apply for, like, Advanced Study? I don't know if you had the same application that I did.
I started Advanced Study, I want to say, about a year ago.
Okay, so you had to write, like, what... like improv has how it's affected like your normal life, and that one of the things I wrote was like, oh, everyone has a justification for how they act with you in a normal day. So like that person that's really nice to you, either like something good happened, they have a baseline of awesomeness, or, you know, they just got laid. Or, yeah. Or like a person that treats you like shit, like something bad happened.
Full on.
Like whether it was in their childhood or earlier today, something bad happened. And you just have to go, oh, that's, and sometimes when I act shitty to people, it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with, well, all the time when I act shitty to people, it doesn't have anything to do with them. It was like, I, you know, I stubbed my toe earlier. I was late for this thing. I have my whole thing and I don't really want to talk about it. And that's why, you know, there's a justification for everything, all the reasons people act the way they do.
I used to live in LA and I hated it.
Did you really?
I lived there for 3 years and I'm such like a New York lover. Like mm-hmm. I love living in the city. I regardless, like most of right now my community is like improv and
yeah.
You know, I love being around like these types of people because yeah. It's just like it's all fun and I coming from like a like full on like acting background. I feel yeah. like most of like the actors are very like will stab you in the back. Like
yeah,
and
I feel there's like, always that tense kind of like I don't know you. I don't really know the real you. Or there's like that like layer of falseness over who they really are. Like I took a few acting classes and I think like the part time acting class because I did like the workshops.
Yeah,
I didn't know I wanted to do. I was afraid to tell myself to like allow myself to do anything that was like real entertainment until I was finally like, I hate everything else I've tried to do. This is what I want to do. I'm just gonna do it. So when I finally took the workshops, it was like all, like, it was a lot of models. I feel like
very much so,
and like that stereotype of models being dumb. Oh my God. This class was full of like the dumbest but prettiest guys and girls. It was like I would have a conversation. I've said this before, like, you know those people you have a conversation with and then at the end you know you're talking about two different things. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You're just like, oh, we didn't. Somewhere along the line that got, ooh.
I mean, this is obviously, I'm stereotyping. It's not like
sure.
The case. but when I lived in LA that I didn't want to, like, I had to say that I was an actor because it's, like, everything yeah. over there, it's, like, who you are and, like, it's very much about yeah. the industry. I mean, at least for my experience, I couldn't, like, find anything that, like, I believe, like, in life you should have a balance, which is, like, I don't know, friends, family, career, like,
yeah.
or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I found myself in LA, like, very much surrounded by people or people that are just in the industry or wanted to get in the industry. And it
yeah.
just became, like, instead of this artistic thing that I like, it became like a competition or obsession or it's like, you gotta make it. And,
yeah.
And it was just not me.
Yeah.
So therefore I was very, very extremely angry at the world. And I feel like, I mean, I would never hit a kid. Like,
I
literally been on, stuck in LA traffic. And having like a road rage where
yeah.
all I wanted was to take the car and like literally crash it to anything.
Well, and there's the thing about New York is because you're around everybody, you can't explode. You just can't.
You
it's
can't.
Not socially acceptable. That's why there's so many kickboxing classes.
Exactly. Like, go to the gym, guys.
Yeah.
Go to the
work
freaking
it out.
Gym. Work it out.
Get laid.
Exactly. Have sex.
Yeah.
You know, just
cook. What could I do? Chop things.
I know. It was just, oh my God. It really, yeah.
So when did you come to New York?
I came to New York 10 years ago.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm old.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
20. No, you aren't.
I am. I'm turning 34, like, in 2 months, in July.
July what?
12.
I'm July 7th.
Woo! I have 3 of my really good friends that are July 7th.
Really?
Maybe this is a sign.
I would like to release this podcast on May 7th. Because I like that. I like the good
nice.
Juju of the 7. I'm not like always weird like that, but you know, once in a while you gotta let like the weird, like,
you're preaching to the choir. I'm all about like superstitions or like being like, this will mean something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Please, the day of Herald editions, not that it mattered because I did not even get a callback, but I like ran into my yoga teacher at Starbucks and she is like the super, like her class is called the Hot Homegirl Yoga. And she's, she's very like, she's all about women empowerment. She's like, she's awesome, right? So I run into her at Starbucks And I was like feeling really nervous. And I told her like, why, you know, cause she's just, what's going on with you today? What's up? What are you up to? And so I told her about it and she's like, Upright Citizens Brigade. Her nanny, her like live-in nanny takes classes. Her name's Lauren Clark. She's like in 401 right now. But she's an intern. So she's like, look me up and look Lauren up on Facebook. So I look them both up. I Facebook messaged Lauren. She was the intern working the day of the Herald auditions. I met her right before I went in. Oh, it was all very weird. And like, I was like, this has to mean something. Turns out it meant nothing.
To maybe like give you some like thing to this, the day of the auditions, the first round, like, I had a really good day.
Yeah.
Not a really good day, but just, like, you know, I worked out, which for me, that's a good day. And,
what do you do to work out?
I worked out, I have a gym in my building, and I have a lot of friends that are dancers.
Nice.
I know. Well, growing up in Puerto Rico, like, acting is not, like, a thing that, you know, like, I feel like kids growing up in New York or even like in the rest of America, like you have like that high school musical that people put every year. Like that's not in Puerto Rico, like non-existent like acting gigs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But dancing is a huge like art form.
Right.
So I didn't do it, but most of my friends did. So now cut to like 20 years later, they're on Broadway and things like that.
That's so,
so
cool.
My friends, since we were 14 years old, his girlfriend is a dancer for Wicked, and she and her friends are getting this certified in training, this type of training that's kind of dancey. So she was like, do you want me to like train you for
like
free?
Cavaletta or something?
No, it's like a lot of like you go in on the treadmill and you do like sachets and like jump and like do crazy shit.
Have
like
you ever
dancing
seen, like, Tracy Anderson?
It's kind of, okay. I did Tracy Anderson, but like meaning like I bought the
metamorphosis
thing.
I like, do you actually have the actual like,
I do
90
I have
day,
it
like,
I did it for 90 days
for what? You are in amazing shape.
Well, I mean, thank you, Tracy. Like it's like, you know, like I'm blessed of being like a petite person, and especially in my dad's side, like we have this type of body, but we're flabby. Like if you don't like anything, like any, no matter how skinny you are, if you don't work out, it's you know, like I have a bunch of cellulite. Hello.
I got Tracy's, I got it from the, like the library, and I like flipped through it and I'm just like, not now. I just returned it. I was like, oh, not now.
It's hard because things that she makes you do are like muscles you never used in your life.
Well, my thing is I've been really liking yoga, and she's like, don't do any other workout that I'm not that is not in my book.
I think I agree. I feel like I am too hyper for yoga. I feel like I don't know how to, like, have that mindset.
It's the only place I can be, like, a genuine person without making jokes. And even then, I'm, like, fucking laughing and mocking myself. Like, I had this one real, real bitch of a yoga teacher once. And she, like, they usually ask if you've ever, like, taken her class. And I was like, oh, you know, I've been at the yoga studio for, like, 6 months, but I've never taken you. And she's like, well, I don't know why you're in the front row then.
She's humiliating you.
She's like, maybe you shouldn't be in the front row because... And I'm like, I know. Like, you can say all the poses. I'll be able to do them. Like, and this is a crowded class. Like, I just took whatever mat. And so the girl next to me looked at me like, what a bitch. Like, she was... Because she was feeling the same way.
That's not that namaste.
Yeah, exactly. It's not very centered. And so... after class, I like mentioned, and all through class, she kept being like, for my regulars, you can do this. For my regulars. And she was a sub. She was subbing in for someone. So that's a lot of attitude.
I bet she just had a bad day.
Yeah. Right. She had a bad day. But the best thing about that is that I came out of that. I like met that girl, and afterwards, I was like, man, that teacher was a bitch. And she's like, yeah, she was. Want to trade numbers? We should go to yoga together. So now she lives like 3 blocks away and we hang out all the time.
You see something
Something great happen.
Oh my God. I I've only taken yoga, meaning like on a regular basis when I lived in LA, because my ex-boyfriend was really into it. Yeah. So I was like, what else I'm going to do? I'll go to yoga class with you.
Yeah.
And
so you were in LA like 10 years ago?
I was I've been here 10 years, but I moved back from LA, I want to say 4 years ago, okay. maybe 3-4 years ago. But I live in a family apartment, so I still had like my apartment over here.
Yeah.
So basically I consider myself, I was bi-coastal.
Yeah.
Because, I did not want to let go of being a New Yorker. I just hated LA so much
yeah.
that I was like, no, like I'm a New Yorker. Like I was the type of person in LA that if anyone wanted to like dish LA, like call me up.
All of my friends that moved to LA always talked about how much they hated it. But I went there, I've only been once, and I went there and, like, packed it full of, like, seeing my friends and going to UCB. Like, the first night I was there, I went to UCB. Mike still got me, like, VIP ticket, like, VIP. Nice. Like, UCB has a VIP, yeah. but, like, checked my name off. And then I went out to drinks with him afterwards, ran into some people, like, Gabrus and Ben Rogers were like outside. I was like, this is great. It feels like home. And then we like drank all night. And then I have my cooking school friend. I ran into her. At the time I was vegan. I am not anymore.
But what? You're not vegan anymore?
No.
Well, I mean, I'm very surprised that I'm just not surprised. I'm proud that you went like that.
I would do it again.
Yeah.
I would do it again. It's like a nice thing to do. But I also was like kind of cheat veganing. Like the first thing I did when I went vegan, if you look over in the cookbook area of my apartment, half of those are like how to bake and still be vegan, like how to eat cookies and still be vegan, which is not like that's how you should do it if you're planning on living the rest of your life that way. But I kind of knew it wasn't going to be forever. I did it for like 6 or 7 months. That's pretty good.
That's amazing. So I've been vegetarian for 10 months and I can't wait to eat a steak yeah. right now. Like, no. I'm craving meat, but I'm like, nope, I'm keeping it up.
No. Well, I kept wanting to cheat, and then, like, I would think about it. Like, I think about cheating, like, getting sushi, and then I was like, but I feel bad.
Me rephrase how vegetarian I am. I started eating fish, yeah. about four months ago.
I think that's smart.
I mean, I felt like I was so tired all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I cannot live on pizza.
Yeah. that's the thing. A lot of times when you're vegetarian, you're like, so mac and cheese? That's great.
It's all
dinner.
Carbs. It's yeah, all it's like... All,
I can't eat... Like, I'm trying to eat better. Like, trying not to eat, like, cheese and things. But that's the good stuff in life.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like the worst eater. I come from a family of foodies, and I don't know where the hell I came from, because I'm the type of person who will still eat like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Like a 12-year-old in camp that, you know.
I'll take going back to Herald Editions, after Herald Editions, I was like, I need to be just, because last year I was really sad. Like, I didn't have any right to be upset last year, but it still hurts.
For Herald?
Yeah.
Of course.
But like, so you like think like maybe you have any shot. This year I thought I had more of a shot, and then I've decided just to get over it. Like beforehand, I was like, you can take a week and that's it. Mm-hmm. So last week, or like whenever the auditions were, I took like, I was okay for like 3 days afterwards. And then I was like, okay, I need to have a depression day. So I just like ate candy and ice cream. I started the day by getting a cinnamon roll. Like, who is that? But it was delicious.
I want a cinnamon roll right now.
Oh my God, there's a bakery. they make such good
amazing.
Stuff. They make amazing pies. But you were talking about your Herald Edition day. You were having a good day.
So I was having a good day in my Herald Edition. Like, it's not that it was a good day, but I just wasn't focused on the Herald Edition. Yeah. I was just like trying to go about my day and like...
Did you do Friday or Saturday or Sunday?
I auditioned with a team.
So Saturday night or Friday night?
Friday night. We were the last team. We went almost like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God. Who's on your team?
My team was a team called Ramona, and it's Timmy Woods. Okay. It's basically a mannequin room. I don't know if you're familiar with mannequin. So it's like Brian, Chrissy, Megan... and Lou Gonzalez,
yeah.
And then Timmy Woods, Gia Ingman, and me.
Yeah, so that's an awesome team.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were all crazy people, yeah. So that was fun. like, I remember maybe a couple of weeks before auditioning, Ari coached us.
Ari Bukidis?
Yeah. Oh,
and my favorite.
He's awesome. And a bunch of us were in his performance class called The Scramble. So
yeah.
He was very excited to work with us.
That's
and
great.
We went in, and he was just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? We were so freaking crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just literally took us, and he was like, you guys need to do some serious work. And that yeah. I think, registered with us in the audition to stay, yeah. like, very not, you know, not to go to crazy
Although
town.
Although I would say that by 1 a.m. on Friday night, they could probably use a little energy in Crazy Town.
For sure.
I went at 6:20, and the group that I went with, we all kind of knew each other, but, like, I knew two people beforehand, and then they knew two people. Like, it was kind of like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So we all met on the Tuesday before auditions, before that Friday, with Dan Black, and we just, like, ran scenes. We ran the audition over and over and over again. And it went great. Like, it was awesome. And then the next day, I had a thing with Ben Remeka, and it was, like, Sypha and Lily and Keaton. And Ben Remeka reamed me so hard. Just, he was like, "Your everything you do is sexual." And I was like, I'm pretty good at that. I was like, not, first of all, not everything is. Like, he was taking everything to, like, the way that I moved my foot when I, like, played nervous. He's like, that was sexual. I was like, Matt, what? No. Like, but then, you know, you can't argue because that just makes it worse. Like,
right.
Arguing with notes is just the worst. And so I, like, ended up sobbing that day and just being in the worst place. So I think I did a pretty good audition. I did not play anything sexually at all.
For me, when I go sexual, I feel it's just because I'm nervous or out of my...
Well, that's what he said. He's like, a lot of women go, when they're nervous, mm-hmm. they go to the sex thing. Excuse me. But I was like, I kind of think that's my strong suit because I like to play creepy sex.
Yeah.
Like, I did this one scene where I was like, I was having someone milk a cow that had my same name. And it was really, like, sexual. I was like, but it was creepy sexual.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. But I have a lot to learn and a long way to go. And, like,
I think in every art form, there has to be room for improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that even, like, Amy Poehler, like, sometimes
yeah.
thinks that she could have a crappy scene.
Exactly.
And I really, truly feel and believe that everybody has more to learn.
Yeah.
And especially in an art form like improv where not everything's...
Yeah.
Especially everything's not set. So...
Yeah. Who was that? I think I was talking... I forget who I was talking to. It was either Anthony mentioned it or people from my Anthony class were talking about it. About how improv's like 20 years old or something. So it's like...
Something like doing it for 20 years, whereas for 20 years is...
Well, like, it, no, it's...
Oh, it's 20... Like,
it's, the art form is 20 years old.
Right.
So everything anyone's telling you is total shit. So take what you can take. Take what works for you. Like, every class that I'm in now, I just kind of take the notes that really work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's stuff that I can't, like, wrap my head around, I'll take it later, you know?
Right.
Because there's only so much you can do.
I feel like... Me, like, especially last year, like, this past year, I definitely been, like, crazy on taking classes at UCB and just,
yeah.
like, learning from every single person that it's, like, teaching there and see, you know, because, like, you, like, everybody knows, like, it's not, like, getting on a team or what they're looking for is, it's so, like, you can't read their minds.
Yeah.
I have no idea what,
yeah.
how the process goes. And I started realizing, and this has nothing to do with the persona, because they're, like, I still have to meet, like, I feel like everyone that I've taken classes with UCB as teachers have been, like, nothing but nice and
yeah.
amazing. I feel like we're lucky to have, like, very, like,
yeah,
nice people.
They're
like,
great people.
But I realized that some of the way of style of coaching or classes, they don't all work for
yeah.
me. And I found myself, like, for example, I'm in an Lydia class right now, and for me, it's, like... It's also at 9 o'clock in the morning, so I just realized, I don't know
I saw that class come up, and I'm like, 9 a.m.? That sounds like an awful time to
but
do
But I improv. Wanted to take Lydia because I know she's on, you know, she's in the room, and, yeah. like, she's, you know, like, one of the people right now up there who decides on teams and things, well, at least I think. Yeah. And she's so brilliant at what she does, but for some reason, she puts me in my head a lot where yeah. I feel like I don't play, like, as I play when I'm in a Kevin Hines class.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
Well, Kevin's your muse teacher.
He's my Yoda. He's yeah. my master for yeah. sure.
No, I have those teachers... Like, I'm in Anthony Tamnick's class, and obviously...
I love him.
I love him, too. But I know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah.
Like,
he will rip you a new asshole, but right. he will make you a great improviser.
And I'm ready, and I'm open for it. Like, I actually was in a scene with him where I was... I wanted to ask questions about his notes, like, and I started to respond, and I'm just like, I should just leave this and just try my best. Because I hate when people, like, talk back and ask questions about notes. I just, like, yeah. take the notes, and if you have questions for the teacher, ask them after class. Because mm-hmm. none of us want to sit here and watch a tense argument between an improviser right. and a student.
Right.
But a lot, I think because the classes are lottery now, and I was talking to a few people from the class, they're like, well, I wasn't sure about Anthony, and I just signed up because, you know, you got to. And I'm like, you should sign up because you want to work with Anthony, you yeah. know? And, like, you should sign up because you're prepared to work with Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, I started my first class by putting my hands palms up on my lap, like, very yoga style, and just being like, I'm ready to absorb all the information.
Did you guys do the
meditation?
The meditation?
We did.
Did you find your spirit animal or your spirit?
I, in the reflection of the water, I saw a cartoon bunny with my face. So it was my face, but it was a cartoon bunny, and I had a flower on my ear. It was lavender.
Nice.
So that's what I saw. You saw a pony, right?
I saw a pony. But I feel awesome. Like I am very connected with horses because I yeah. grew up with them, so that's all it came to my head. Or maybe, I don't know if I actually had... I don't know how to meditate, so
well, that's
I was
the thing.
Like...
It's like, yes, I can close my eyes and, like, imagine I'm in a field. Like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't need to, like, sit and, you know, do the red dot expansion contraction thing. I don't need to, like, get to a special place to do that. So when people were like, I didn't see anything, I was like, well, I could have not seen anything, too, but I, like, you can just close your eyes and see stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of weird. It's not that... I feel like a lot of people put too much pressure on it. Like, they expect it to just be like, and maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know. But I feel like sometimes you expect it to be like a mind-blowing experience.
Right. Like, that's what I imagine. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's something like takes over you and you know what you're doing.
But it's just really, it's you're lying it's just, on the floor and you're closing your eyes and you can picture a field. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can picture a field, and that's because we're all...
Who has been your, like, biggest
you're gonna interview me.
I want to ask you like yeah, I yeah. want to, like, who are your like your teachers that you think has worked for you, like, you feel, because, you know, when you do yeah. good improv, you just go in this zone.
Yeah,
at least for me, it's, I know when I'm, like, in the zone, when I don't have to, when I don't think in Spanish,
right?
It happens to me a lot. Most yeah. of the time I have to translate, and it's like,
oh, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my god. Well, in talking a little bit about callbacks, you know, I went in and I didn't know anyone except I knew Carly Ann, who was in
yeah,
Suck My Dick with me.
My dick. I was gonna say, she's in Suck Your Dick.
She sucked my dick. And Saifa, but I never worked with Saifa before. Yeah. I just know him. And a couple, like, great guys that I didn't know.
Right.
And so the callback was at Simple Studios? Simple Studios, is that
Pearl? Was it Pearl?
Pearl. Yeah. And
I saw the pictures.
Oh my god.
Of everyone else.
That was it was nerve-wracking because we couldn't warm up. It was like...
That really sucks.
It's like you get in and it's like all of a sudden, like, the first type of yeah. improv you do, it's like in the room.
Yeah.
And so they give us the suggestion and I had no idea what the word meant.
What was it?
It was like... It sounded something like forest... I think it was forestry.
Forestry?
Which...
Which is still like...
It was forestry and then I looked it up. But yeah. at the moment, like... I knew it was something with, like, I just didn't, I was like, I didn't know.
That's it
was
not like, a word that just comes, that just, like, I has knew, a bunch of things.
So I was like, does it have to do something with, like, forest? But it's like, I didn't want to, like, assume that right. I knew what yeah. it meant. And that was one of the moments where I was like, should I ask what it is? But it was already, like, the pattern yeah. game started. And then the first five words that were mentioned, there were words that I didn't understand.
Oh, that is awful.
So I was like, this is when, like, being an English second language speaker yeah. sucks in improv.
When I lived in France, the only time I felt like I could really speak French, and I don't speak French, I still do, like, Rosetta Stone, was when I was drunk.
Like, that's for me. It's like, if I'm drunk, I feel like I can speak, or I feel like I'm
you know, speaking. I was not, I was speaking the most broken French, but I was confident about it, you know? Like, you don't, you, when you're speaking, like, a new language, the biggest barrier to get over is confidence. But,
yeah.
you know, and I remember this one time, one of my cooking school teachers was, he was really good at English, but he said something grammatically incorrect, and I just, like, the teacher in me, like, instinctually went, you know, corrected him and, like, on his grammar, and then I look up and I got all tense and I'm like, oh my god, I just told the chef he was wrong. He's like, oh no, that is great, you should,
and you're like,
you should correct me. This is my wonderful French accent.
it's a lot better than my American accent.
Oh my god, that is awful. I love your accent, by the way. I love god. The way your voice sounds.
Well,
I love
thank you
Mariola. I love it.
For me, it's like, in acting, it's been, like, a curse because it's, like, I don't full-on look like what Hollywood thinks all Latin people should look like.
I was talking to this one girl. She was, like, I can't get a lot of, like, the... I can't even get the housekeeper thing because I'm not, like, what they want is that Latin housekeeper.
It's
like,
exactly what happens to me.
You know, you... Yeah.
And I went in for New York Lotto... audition, like, not too long ago, and it was for the Spanish speaking part of, like, probably like Telemundo, Univision or something yeah. like that, but it was the same script because I saw the American version, so it's kind of like the same, and it was all improv kind of thing. And I went to two callbacks, and I was between me and this other girl, and she looked super Latin, and she had, like, a broken, like, Spanish.
Yeah.
She definitely, it's kind of like a New Yorker or someone that grew up in United States, and her yeah. Spanish was very, very, like,
mm-hmm.
like an American accent. Yep. But obviously, they don't know, because they don't know right. Spanish, like, people right. were casting. And, but I guess one of the people, like, spoke Spanish, and apparently my agent told me that she was, like, she wanted me because I was like, she has better Spanish, but yeah. I lost it because I didn't look Latin enough.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I'm like, I grew up in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Like, my family's from Spain. Like, I could not be more Latin. Like, it's like, but yeah. It's something
it's
that I struggle.
When you don't fit into the boxes. Like,
yeah.
I don't fit into the boxes.
Yeah, you don't. You're a creepy sexual.
I'm a creepy sexual person. No, I was talking to Lily, you know Lily.
Of course, Lily too. Yeah.
She's like, have you thought about going brunette? And I'm like, no, I don't want to.
No.
I thought about it after I didn't get a call back. I was like, that was my, I went through like all the, I like looked at the list of all the like stages of grief.
Oh my god, what are they? Because I need sometimes, like, to go through them.
It's like denial, which was me double checking the list
yeah.
to make sure.
Yeah.
And then it's like bargaining is one of them. So that was the hair color. The hair color was bargaining. Like, what if I go brunette? Will you like me if I'm brunette? And there's like depression. and then there's like something else, and then there's acceptance. So I'm at acceptance now.
I mean, you're basically in the last stage.
Yeah, I've accepted it, and I've also decided that I will, like, that can't be a goal.
Yeah,
it can be a cool thing that maybe happens one day, and I can keep taking classes, and I can you know, keep auditioning, but it can't be a goal because a goal can't be something that someone else decides for you.
I agree. That's a very smart way of looking at it.
So, if you look at my weird list on the door that says dog pedophile, nobody steal that joke. that's my, like, list of all my, like, actual things that I'm interested, like, that I'm working towards.
I think it's a great thing. You have, like, one woman show and stand up. And mm-hmm. something that not getting in, like, yeah. getting a spot on a team, I think for the past, like, 6 months, especially, like, the past year, it was my priority. It was a goal definitely of mine. But regardless, I mean, having that experience at a UCB stage can be amazing.
Yeah.
But something that they told me about the Broad City Girls posted yeah. when Harold, the list was out.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm super excited for everyone who did not make it into the Harold team because those are the people who end up going out and creating.
Yeah, well,
things.
This, what we're doing right here, I probably would be to, if I made it onto a team, if I made it onto a Lloyd team, I might be going on tonight.
Right.
For my first show, and I wouldn't be able to, like, I wouldn't have bought the microphones and actually done it, you know?
Yeah.
And this is something that's been on my mind for a year.
And it's something that already gets you out there. It doesn't yeah. matter, like, because with the internet and everything that it's in yeah. this time of day, like, age, like, we can do so much.
Well,
that for me, this next week, this next month, I'm not even, like, taking classes. Like, I'm finishing this Lydia class, yeah. and I'm not taking any more classes because I feel like there's always room for improvement. I have teams yeah. that I can keep on doing it. But I wanted to focus. I have so many, like, web series that I haven't been able to dive in.
To really do them, yeah.
And because it's like, well, I was
doing improv. Do you have, like, a day job?
I don't.
Yeah, me either.
So it's like, we can use that.
Yeah.
We can use...
That's why I decided to pack my day full of these things that really, you know, push me towards whatever that end goal is,
yeah.
you know? And I've just felt better, you know, just
yeah.
working, really trying. I am going to, I'm doing an Anthony class and then I'm not signed up for any more, but I, like, put my name...
Yeah, you should. Like, I mean, that for me was like,
I don't have a team, so.
Which one, like, I have a guy for you.
Yeah,
that I do. Like, it's, you've been in my mind, and I wanted, like, I hooked you, I wanted for you to talk to Morgan Hill, because she wanted
yeah.
to start a team, and this guy, Tony Mew,
yeah.
he, him and I took 4-1 together, and in that 4-1 class got really tied, and he, I guess he... Something, I can't remember what happened, but it was kind of like something like that, that he got almost into a team and he didn't. So he decided to audition for The Magnet and mm-hmm. he got right. He's really good. So he got
yeah,
on.
Are you considering doing any of the other schools?
I'm in level 4 at The Magnet. I haven't finished. I like it. I feel like I knew some of the people that I've taken classes with. So I guess that, you know... That helped, but mostly in people were people from UCB in classes.
Yeah.
So it's like you went in and it was like kind
of
like an extension.
A lot of, yeah.
You know everyone.
I thought about it for like a hot second taking other classes, but I think because my end goal isn't to be an excellent improviser.
Yeah,
you know my like I want to I am trying to you know work on myself as a comedian, a total package. Comedian,
right.
actor, like, this is what I am. And so I was like, do I want to, you know, go to another school and do more improv? Like, not really. I'd rather just keep on taking the classes at the level I'm taking, take the teachers I want to take.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
something that also, like, did you go to this? Yeah, we went to the summit.
Yeah,
well, something that Nate said that it was... kind of like an eye-opener for me because I thought that, oh, I thought the easiest way to make it on a team or to be noticed to get on a team was to just take classes
yeah.
and just be, you know, yeah. getting notes and from teachers. And that definitely helps, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But like he said, like he wants the people that are going to become stars. And most
yeah.
of the – and most of the – those people have things outside of UCB.
Right. You can't, it can't be your whole life.
You can't.
And when I was like dipping my toe into this as like, should I even try doing comedy? you know, UCB is the only thing you do, and then you have to, like, figure out other things. And still, the stand-up open mic I do every week is at the Beast. Like, it's not like I'm really, like, out there, but I'm trying different, you know, formats.
Well, UCB is a really well, like, known place for the people that could probably can make your career happen that do go in UCB and see things. And just, I guess, having UCB in your resume, it can only help.
I will say, when Aubrey was talking about all the work that being on a team is, and like all the stress and like the personal issues on a team, I was just like, that sounds terrible.
Well, even friends of mine that are in Herald teams, they were like, they're constantly, it doesn't like, you don't get in a Herald team and all of a sudden you feel great about yourself.
Yeah,
like
you get on a Herald team and you're stressing out every week about,
because you're getting, you could get cut. And like, they just cut a bunch of amazing people.
I know. And I looked at that. 17 people got cut from Herald and Lloyd. And it's just like, and they're great, great
They're
people.
Great performers. And that's...
Did you read Riley's thing, his Tumblr thing?
I didn't.
Yeah, it's good. You should read it. But it's nice to know that that people appreciate their time. Like, everybody's appreciating where, you know, it's frustrating to not, like, it was frustrating to not get a callback, but I'm still growing, and I'm not going to leave the school or be mad at anybody.
No.
You know, it's just, I want to
You're
do...
still part of the community. Yeah. Just because you're not in a house team.
I don't do enough at the community, though.
Well, I mean, you are, regardless, because you do, like, the advanced classes, and, like, you do, like, the performance.
I interned to try to be at the theater more. Like, that was the main reason I interned. But, I have a hard time, just leaving my cozy little, like...
You're preaching to the choir, because it's like, I'm a homebody.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, I just got home. Wait, do I have to leave in an hour?
I really don't want
to
go.
And also, like, I'm like, oh, do I have to spend $5? Because it's like, you know, you get used to, and then it's like, as a performer, you get in for free, and I'm like, oh. I sometimes want to just be a performer just to get the free.
That's what I was going to get in for free. I was like, oh man, Lily gets to go out to all the shows for free.
I know. That's why I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, so jealous.
I know. But, you know, it's, I also see most of, like, even if I was in a team or Lloyd, like, it's a 6-month gig.
Yeah.
And for those people.
It's
and some of them.
Yeah.
And some of them, like, stay longer and everything. It's like, I see, like, because I went through, like, a couple, like the last callback that I had, I went through, like, oh, my God, do I suck? And you start, like, doubting yourself. And then I started seeing, I was like, no, like, it's like if Diane Keaton and Patricia Clarkson went into for a role.
Yeah.
They're both amazing.
They're both great. And then there's only one place.
There's only one part.
No,
so.
I was sobbing when I found out I didn't get a callback. And I was like, I just feel like it's been 2.5 years and I'm nowhere. But that's when I realized, like, that's why that can't be the goal.
It can't.
So, I'm just trying to move forward and do new things and be somebody that, like go out. Like, I decided on a podcast because I don't know anything about videos or how to do that stuff. But you know what? I listen to hours of podcasts a week. I love them. I love the, like, sitting and getting to know someone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just one-on-one.
And I feel like, listen, I, not getting on a team also, like, definitely was devastating. And for me, it was, like, kind of like, they made most of Suck My Dick a team.
I know.
So it was just,
I know. I was going to ask you about that.
Well, for us, like, it's a bittersweet because we all got each other's back. And if it was for me, like, I wanted the 16 of us to get a spot.
Yeah.
And I'm literally, like, nothing but, like, proud of those girls. And I'm going tonight to be in first row and, like, cheer them
support
up.
Support Detroit.
And support Detroit because they're wonderful and they deserve it.
Right.
It was hard for us as a – even, like, the girls who got on.
Yeah.
It was just hard for us to be, like – you know, Suck My Dick was such a great experience and – it made us feel like we were breaking boundaries of women in the theater. And
you guys did such a nice job. Like,
and it was great. And I felt like, especially like the last show, I felt very confident that I did a great show. And you know, we started thinking, wait, do they think it's only like the best 7 got on and things like that? And then
yeah,
we started realizing,
then you start like
you know,
feeling like there's a line between.
Right. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's like, you know, like they will complement each other in a way where it's where the theater, where Nate wants the theater to go. So, I know I'm a wild card. I sometimes don't know what they're talking about. So I understood that. I mean, I don't know what the reasons were, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
What even like the girls who got on, like we were just kind of like, oh, you know, like would people forget about Suck My Dick now that Detroit is basically Suck My Dick? And like all of us were like, no, that's not Suck My Dick. Suck My Dick, 16 of us. It's just another team. But obviously like people are calling it the Suck My Dick team because it is what it is. It was just seven girls and they added Alexandra Dixon.
She was in one of my other
classes. She was in one of my classes. Alexandra is amazing. Yeah, she's great. Such a sweetheart. And she's a, you know, she was a Chicago girl. She went to, like, she did the tour of Second City. She's brilliant. She is, you know, like, she texted me. She was like, oh, my God, like, I wish you were in that team and everything because I don't know any of these girls. And I was like, they're going to embrace you with open arms because those are those girls. And yeah, that was the only thing. It was, we were like, oh, you know, like, it was, you know, it was like a little heartbreak because, you know, it was kind of like half of our team just got a spot. And
yeah. Was Shannon in your audition room?
Shannon was in my audition room. She was like super supportive. Like I heard her laughing. And
I know.
I don't know if she really was like finding things funny, but she made it like very welcoming. Yeah. As a lot of people did.
I thought it was a really supportive audition room.
I think so too. I never auditioned with Anthony King, but I heard that
that was at his computer.
Yeah, it was like very dry and everything, and that hasn't been my experience auditioning at all.
It's been great.
I fuck it up myself, not because of them.
I thought, like, I know I did things wrong, but I also thought I had a really good audition.
Yeah.
I had a lot of energy. I stepped out first and initiated first because I hate when you're all standing on that back line and nobody's saying a damn thing. I hate that. I hate it so much.
It's so weird. Look, in the first round, I actually thought that the best scene from my group, it was Timmy Woods and Brian Oretta.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get a callback.
Yeah.
And it was like, I will remember that scene forever because I remember their suggestion was Dateline, and I am obsessed with Dateline NBC. So it's like I'm okay with staying Friday nights because I love Dateline NBC. So I was like, oh my god, I just wanted to do a scene, and they stepped out first, and I had to kind of like step back.
I'm like,
you better fuckers do a good scene because you just like I wanted to do this scene, and they nailed it. Like I was like literally laughing out loud on the back line, and they didn't get a call back. So I was just like, it's just so like.
Yeah.
You never know.
Only one person from my room got onto a team. That's Lily. And then David Greenslade also got a callback. He did this crazy, he did a scene with Lily where he did like a car wash scene where he had like fake boobs and was like squirting water all over him. And he was like so over the top. And then Lily was like straight manning him the whole time, which she does so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. Like they did great.
Yeah.
You know.
It's weird. It's so weird. I don't, like, it's so hard to get, you know, inside Nate's brain to realize how he does things.
Well, he also doesn't know 90% of us.
That's very true. Like, it's so
hard. He can't go to all the shows.
You know? I mean, like, that's the thing. I put myself in his position, and it's like, it's crazy. Because I was like, you know, like, at the beginning, it was like, don't you know who I am? But it's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't know half of the people either.
I talked to him once when I was an intern, and it was... He was making small talk with us about how he had to Google how to make corn on the cob. That's the only conversation I've ever had with him. Not about improv, nothing. I was standing at the door, and I was so nervous talking to him because I was like, oh, I don't want to screw up. That I like left mid-conversation. I was like, I've said a couple words without fucking up. You can talk to Megan Gonzalez, and I'm going to go back here.
That is so funny. Because
I was like, I managed to not mess that up. Good job.
I know. It's so weird because when you, I mean, and I'm the same way. Like, I get intimidated by people that are in the higher position all the time.
And the thing is, like, all of us are a few years apart. Like,
I think I'm older than him.
Are you? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that I'm older than a lot of people.
I mean, like, we're all I feel like a lot of times, like, we tend to put teachers and people that are in the administration, like, on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But they're humans. You know, they mess up.
Hold on. Like, I remember when I even, like, and I started improv, like, really late. I remember going into, like, Harold Knight and seeing them as gods. Like, holy shit, yeah. These people are so good. And, like, and it's that little, like, big fish in a small pond, like, kind of yeah. where people just, like, you become a little, like, right. celebrity within the community. And then, like, cut to, like, 3 years later, 2 years later. I don't even know how long I've been there, but I think 2.5 years.
Yeah, me too.
Now you see, like, my friends are on Harold Knight. I'm like, they're exactly yeah. the same. Like, yeah. then you put yourself in perspective. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, the people that I was watching are, like, the Caroline Cotters, which is, like, one of my dearest yeah. friends. And like,
Alex French is in my 501 right now. And he just got on, and, he just yeah. got promoted to Harold Knight. So it's really, it's funny. It's like, oh, we're all the same. It's
we
just,
are.
It's,
Marshall is in my yeah. in my
Marshall,
class.
Marshall was in my audition room last year. For him and Shalia were in my room.
Oh my God. That was I heard something.
That was a rough
changing subject. I heard that was like a little hard audition.
That was
a hard room.
Yep.
Yeah, it's improv. I mean, that's the thing. Like, improv becomes, it's such an addicting feeling because it's like, I think it takes over your body when you're doing good. How did you end up at
UCB? Like, how did you end up taking improv classes?
I went to Emerson College. I graduated from their acting program. And I know that there was a lot of, like, comedy mm-hmm. in Emerson, but the groups never, like,
meshed. Yeah.
So I've always, like, loved comedy. Like, it's especially, like, growing up and not knowing a lot of English, when I watched movies, I liked to watch, like, Steve Martin because he was so physical. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would get what was going on.
That's interesting.
And that way, like, I, you know, like, I've learned mostly English through movies. Like, even though, like, in Puerto Rico, you do have English and Spanish mm-hmm. in school. But I did not watch anything, like, in Spanish in television. Yeah. I was obsessed with Nick at Night. I mean, in Nick at Night, when it was like I Love Lucy and yeah, My Three Sons yeah. and Donna Risho and Mary Tyler Moore.
That's
and
great.
Especially Dick Van Dyke was a huge because he was so physical and Lucy, obviously. And then I started watching like all these like movies like The Jerk and like The Lonely Man and,
yeah.
and The Three Amigos and all those movies that I loved. And I realized that it was just kind of like, you know, I fell in love with like movies and comedy, but when I went to told my parents that I wanted to be an actor, my dad was like, "Well, if you want to be an actor, you should educate yourself in a theater kind of base." So
that's awesome.
So I was like, "All right." So like you know, I went to and decided to be like, you know, like to be a hip hop dancer, you still need to learn ballet.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, you know,
so like,
do the Chekhov and Shakespeare and all these like things that. That, you know, they're under my belt. They're definitely not my strongest point. But doing those type of, like, I remember in school, like, even though I was doing, like, serious stuff, people would laugh.
Yeah.
So it was like, they were like, so they started casting me in all these funny roles.
Yeah.
So I took it and I loved it. I loved SNL. I never saw myself as a cast member in SNL. Like, I always, like, imagined being a host. So it's like, all right.
I know. So I've never imagined SNL as, like, my goal.
Yeah, me
Whenever
either.
I see, like I saw Kate McKinnon's solo show,
mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years ago, and I was just like, oh, my God, she's incredible. And
she's
then
insane.
When she got SNL, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
She's insane.
Like,
she's so great.
I didn't, she like, started out her show with a British accent that was so good that I was like, Is she British? Like, who?
She's insane. She's like a character actor, and she's
yeah.
like she can like. I don't think. I mean, I can barely speak English sometimes. I can like how to I try to how can I try to do that big of a character?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I don't know. I think I'm always a wuss in that part. So I don't know. I don't know how much I would try it. But yeah. So When I lived in LA, I never did comedy, like, but I always loved SNL, you know, and loved all, like, Matt TV and all those type of things, and, like, Mr. Show.
I was a Kids in the Hall SNL person.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
Kids in the Hall was, like... Like, I remember watching the Sausages sketch. Do you know that sketch?
I don't know a lot of Kids in the Hall, which is...
I think...
I'm an idiot where I haven't, like, seen that show.
No, I don't... There's some comedy history that I just don't know. But mm-hmm. Kids in the Hall, my brother was big into comedy, and he turned it on. And there's this, like, weird Sausages sketch that's, like... there's just this person who, like... worked at a sausage factory. It's so weird. It's like the creepiest weird, like YouTube it or something. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but that's like, oh, I love that creepy weird stuff. That's
you're a creepy sex.
I like the creepy weird sex stuff.
yeah. And for, I don't know. So when I lived in LA, when I moved to LA, I was, most of my friends that I knew from New York that I moved there didn't last less than 6 months. Yeah. So all of a sudden I'm like, I'm by myself in LA.
Oh no.
So I used to go to see the Groundlings a lot, and they went awesome. To their Wednesday shows, which was the Crazy Uncle Joe show, which was like long improv. And I would watch Kristen Wiig's.
Yeah, I was going to say, was Kristen Wiig there?
She was like, I remember she got into SNL maybe like 7 or 8 months after I was watching her, and I was remember being like, oh my God, this girl is so
incredible. Yeah.
So by watching that, I was like, I'm just, my brain is not wired. Like I just thought that you had to have something in your brain or something to be able to do this.
To just like let everything else, you have to like let your inner ego go and become somebody else.
I didn't know what it was, but I just thought that you needed like some special computer chip or something like that to become that person. Yeah. So I never joined any improv classes when I lived in LA. It was all like scene study, like all these like people like Larry Moss and like this guy that is like the new like Larry Moss, whose name is Gregory Burke, so big in LA, and like all these amazing like classes, and I found myself just being like so bored because it's like 4-hour classes and you work for 30 minutes and then you just watch a bunch of scenes and that type of like feeling where it's like no one was your friend, you know. And so when I moved back from LA, I was just like looking for things to do, and I had taken an improv class, but it was like improv for actors, which is not what it was, like this type of improv classes are. And I really enjoyed it. Like I was like, and I was like, okay, like a friend of mine had taken UCB a long time ago. So I was like, let me just take a class.
Yeah.
And it was like love at first sight.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun. That's, and I was like,
who's
oh
your
my God.
101 teacher?
Sylvia.
Oh, what a great 101 teacher.
She is like, I think like Stepfathers and Curfew are definitely like my gurus.
Yeah.
Like those two teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're like, those are the heavy hitters, you know?
I mean, yeah.
The first improv show I ever saw was a cage match between Death by Ruru and Outlook of the Poet.
Oh my God.
So it's like, why don't I start out by seeing the best improv ever?
Oh my God.
Like, I voted for Death by Ruru because I was in Mike Still's class at the time, and he's like, go to this show. I took a class without seeing improv. I took a class because I watched an Ask Tina on NBC.com on like the 30 Rock page that said, if you want to do, like, they asked her the question, if I want to do what you do, how do I do it? And she's like, if you live in Chicago, go to Second City or IO. If you live in LA or New York, go to UCB. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then I just signed up for a class.
That's
and
amazing.
So after the first class, Mike Still was like, go to the Thursday show, cage match, vote for Death by Ruru. So I went, and both of them were so good, but it was like impossible to judge. Ruru won. But
when you see those type of, like, that's another thing for me that it's like kind of like crazy about cage match. I mean, definitely when you see, when somebody stinks, like, you can, yeah. There's a clear winner. But how can, even like award shows, like the Oscars and things like that,
how can you judge people's performances?
People's performances. It's not a competition. Like,
no. Unless, the idea, like, that they had that, like, didn't they have some, there was like a, at UCB, there was like a last improviser standing kind of thing. They did an improv.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
How did it work?
They like had to do challenges each week, and then they got like, it was like a little reality show that, I guess, all the web series. I have watched like two episodes, but I remember being like so confused because it was really early on UCB. I'm just like, I don't understand this. But like, yeah, I don't, it's that competition stuff is just, that's why like the house teams and stuff is weird, because you want to be so, you know, team oriented, and it is such a like a nice community. But then you have these like little competitions. Although I think Cage Match rules.
I love Cage Match, but sometimes I feel like, exactly, like, I remember, can't remember who the teams were, but, oh my God, I'm completely blanking out. But they were so great.
Yeah.
Both of them. And I remember ripping my thing on half and be like, I don't know who to vote. So I like, stumbling, and then like I put one in.
Oh, that's
because I was like, I don't know. And it was the first time that they had a tie.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who the team was.
Was it
now.
Recent?
I want to say like in the last year.
Because I worked Cage Match night from June to December of last year, but I don't. We had like one that was one off, like, and like somebody had like passed.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe like they won for one vote. They wasn't.
It was
one. They won for one vote.
And someone like had passed an extra vote in at like the end through the office, and we were like, we can't take that vote. Like, we've already counted these votes. Like, that would have made it like an actual tie or something.
Oh,
I don't know. It was something crazy like that. Like, we had to make up. We just made up rules. Like, once the doors close, nobody can.
That's really funny.
Because you get people are crazy on Cage Match night, and then they'd come in like late for the show and ask for ballots. You're like, no, you missed 5 minutes, which means that you're not going to get whatever else they do. We're not giving you a ballot.
That's fair.
So we just like throw them in to the garbage, and then whoever was like eating would throw their food out so you can sneak them out.
Oh my God.
But I used to love counting the ballots at the end. It was so fun. Me and Riley and Pat Bear and Chuck counting ballots.
Did you, has it been like sometimes like a very kind of like somebody just knocked it out and it was like,
yeah, they post them online. There's some website, I believe somebody has like a blog where they post
the votes,
the actual vote counts, because we write them down at the end, and then somebody posts them online, but I'm not sure. But yeah, some people get creamed.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, like it's like, it's like an indie team.
Airwolf went on a huge run. And, like, they used to just murder people. But so what are your, like, goals, your end goal? What's, like, your big goal, your big end goal? Or your dream?
What are my dreams? Oh, my God.
Mariola, tell me your dreams.
I mean, when it comes to career-wise, what I was saying before that it's something that Tarantino said, and I remember him saying that. And now it's definitely like very much like how I feel. I went to acting school, like to Emerson, and like was an acting major because I love movies.
Yeah.
And I just thought that it's like you know, to be in the movies, you become an actor,
you know? Yeah.
But then I started realizing that I'm a lot snobby when it comes to movies. And it's like, if the movie's not shot well, or the script is not good, or it was more about filmmaking.
Right.
That definitely.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to realize that. So I always say, if I had the do-over, I would have gone to film school instead of like acting.
Film school instead of acting. Well, I went to school for French horn performance, then accounting, then marketing, then to cooking school. So I don't know what I would have done.
You know what? At the end of the day, I feel like those people that didn't study acting, especially like in comedy and writing, they have so much more things to write about.
That's very nice.
No?
But no, it like, sometimes it's true. But I feel like jealous of the people that got, that like felt confident enough in themselves to say, this is what I want to do early on. Like I never even tried out for anything in high school because I was pigeonholed into being, I played the French horn. I'm a band geek. I'm in marching band and I'm good at that. I'm in orchestra and I'm good at that. I do all the honor band stuff. But I can't, like, I can't even try out for choir or take a chorus class or try out for the like you were talking about the musical. I played in the pit orchestra.
I mean, that is so much, that you don't understand how much people will have in common with you, especially in the comedy world. Like, I feel like, I sometimes do my best work when I'm not obsessed with, like learning. Yeah. It's like when you live your life, especially in improv, because it's like, you know, like the truth in comedy, it's like what you bring and the specifics of your life are
exactly
are very rich in like in the form.
Well, I think just doing day to day different things, like just getting out in the world and not being around the same exact people every day and trying different things, like taking, you know, a dance class with your girlfriends, you're going to have a lot more to bring from that class and from people that are different than the people you're improvising with.
I 100% agree with you.
You have so much more to bring.
And that's something that even Suck My Dick was doing. Like, we did completely different things that had nothing to do with improv. We went to, like, I didn't get to go, but we went to, like, Linda's, which is, like, a bra size, and we all got our, like, boobs measured.
Oh, I did that at Intimacy.
I was like, I am flat. I don't need to for someone to measure me to tell me I'm a 32A. That's it. Yeah. You know?
I took my mom there because I was like, Mom, you need to go.
I think then, my mom needs to go. My mom has big boobs.
Then, like, a week later, she's like, I'm not really happy with what I got. And I was like, well, you bought it, and you live in Connecticut, so deal with it.
Oh my God.
And she like bought these really pretty like really pretty bras instead of like, you know, Kohl's Playtex in a box.
Yeah. Like, which is basically what I'm wearing now.
I have the like mine are now from that store, Intimacy, because I like this one brand and it makes me feel pretty and that's all there is to it.
That's
okay?
All you need, all right? Yeah. That's why we have boots.
It's pretty much all I've got going for me.
I feel like, and that brought that team together. Yeah. Like, we also had crazy. I just became Cindy Brady. We had crazy things happening. Like, one of our team members lost her mom while she was in class.
Yeah, I think Lily wrote about it on her blog, or somebody wrote about it on their blog, and I was like reading that.
So it was a lot of like
that's
real life shit that happened that we just got our backs. And I think that made us like understand each other in a way, because to tell the truth, there were a couple of times that we barely did improv in that spot, that we just got, when that thing happened. And like, I think one of our other cast member, her friend was diagnosed with cancer, and like, just like, everybody got sick. We don't understand like how many shit, like bad things happened to us while we were together. And I think that was what made us play that way.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know, I feel like sometimes just like, even like an instant gratification with us, just the fact that it was like, you know, we're going to class and then right after that, we're going straight to the theater. Yeah. It made Kevin not get us. I mean, I don't think he is that person, but like, it made us not be obsessed with getting it right.
Yeah.
And
I loved that class.
I love that class too.
That with the real Dormammu scene.
Oh my God.
That should be a form.
Did someone submit that to UCM?
Yeah, somebody did. Somebody,
I think Daryl did,
yeah,
right?
I thought it was Daryl, but I didn't want to get it wrong. Daryl did. And I don't know if it got accepted or whatever, but I was talking to Alex about it, and he said, I always felt bad for the other half of the class that had to do the non-real Dormammu scene, and it was true. We were all
so
like,
much fun. I'm so glad that he kept that one.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God.
And that class was, was full of such great people and so much energy. I felt like a person that didn't even, like, usually I bring, like, a boatload of energy in class and I'm just like, here it is, here I am, enjoy.
You did bring that, though.
I feel like I did. I felt like a little mouse in that class.
I think we were all, like, mice, and we were just, like, we just complimented each other. It was, like, it was that great. Type of thing. I don't think anyone did bad in that class.
Yeah. No, everyone was great.
Everyone was great. Like, I would say that still, like, some of my favorite pieces that I've seen was from that class, meaning not me being on it. Like, just watching your team, because we weren't playing together.
Clara blew my mind as an improviser.
She's so funny.
She's great. She is intense, like, intensely awesome. Not, like, intense, but, like,
no, she's great. She's just so, like, fucking funny. Even in her, like, I just like talking to her.
Yeah.
Like, I bump into her, and I was, like, saying goodbye. And I was like, I gotta leave, and I give her a hug, and I was like, oh, I'll see you before I leave. And she's like, no, this counts. This counts. Like, I think we did it. And I'm like, okay, I think we did it. And I was like, the things that come out of her mouth, she's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I loved when, like, picking up little things that she has said and on scenes and just running with it.
She was great. And Sarah and I both, like, walked into the class. I didn't know anybody in that class before. Like, I knew of people, but I didn't know people. Yeah. And so Sarah was like, I don't know anybody. And I was like, I don't either. Welcome.
And it's in less than, like, a day, we were all, like,
tight. Yeah, it was great. And that email chain was ridiculous. Yes. I was just like, God. 20 emails?
Oh, yeah.
What? I don't even have it. I don't have a funny response, but I should think of something just so I can be a part of the crowd.
That's something, like, I thought that was a big email chain until suck my dick.
Well, you guys are intense.
It was like, I will wake up and there's 150 messages. I'm not kidding you. I'm like, what?
No, at the summit, you guys were talking about some wine and cheese party, and then Lily said a bunch of people were going on a juice cleanse, and I was like, oh my God, like, anything more than one person going on a juice cleanse is insane.
Yeah. But it's like, now we have the app group Me.
Mm-mm.
It's like a new app, and it's basically just like text messaging.
Yeah.
But it's like,
the whole group.
It's like, basically, it's like a chat room, and you have, like, your different, you know, you make different groups, and we have a suck my dick that Glenn started, and we all got the app because Glenn was like, this is the new thing, and we're like, all right. And it's insane because you can take, you know, all these photographs you send, and then they put you in an album, and I'm not kidding you. We exchange close to, like, 200 text messages That's every insane. Day. And we, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, where have I missed? Because it's like, you can't go through all those messages that you missed.
No, it's like your Twitter feed. Right. Your Twitter feed.
And then we go through, like, we had this thing of, like, all of us, like, sending pictures in the toilet. It's just like, it just became, it's crazy.
Did you have Shannon before?
I did have Shannon before. Shannon was my first 401.
Yep, me too.
And she did not pass me.
She didn't pass me either.
But it's weird because I remember being really confident in the first couple of weeks. And for some reason, the last 3 weeks of that class, I went into my head and it was just like,
I'm surprised. When did you start taking, like, when was your 101? What, like, year and month?
It was January, but I want to say.
So was it January 2011 then?
I turned, it was like, I was 30, and so 2.5 years ago, almost three.
So January 2011.
Yeah.
That's when I took my first 101. And yet we were not in a class together until.
It's a huge. It's a huge community.
That's crazy. Because I took Shannon for 401. She was my first 401.
We were probably
Like 1 month, like 2 months apart or whatever.
I took my 201 was an intensive. I did an intensive, which I don't recommend. I don't think they do them, like, anymore.
The only thing close to an intensive I've done is having 2 days a week, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Because you see people more. That was my second 401, and that was Neil Casey. It was awesome.
Did you have it? Did you have him all the way through, or was it that the when he got casted?
No, it was right before he got cast, and we did have subs twice, But that's just because he's a busy, but he was probably like interviewing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But our subs were Will Hines and Ari Fukitas.
Which are awesome.
Like, come on. Ari in that class, he like, it was the best sub we could have ever had. Like, Ari and Will both came in and made, they like filled in Neil's gaps.
Yeah.
Like, Ari came in. And he very bluntly, as he does sometimes, went around and just kind of, like, pointed out certain things people, like, were consistently doing. And those people felt, like, really wronged.
Mm-hmm.
They were really upset. But I was like, that's awesome. Because that needed to be said.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you have, like, I don't know. And this is, I guess, something that I didn't realize, but I went into classes and I was like, this is my time to fuck up.
Yeah.
And get their...
But not in 401, you can't fuck up.
You can't fuck up, which I didn't realize.
I didn't realize that either. I went into 401 like, this is just like 201. You just have to like do fine and then you see shows and you'll pass. And then I didn't realize until I, like, the last class we went to drinks and everybody's like, oh no, this is like for real. This is an audition.
I'm wrong. Kevin Heinz was my first 401. I took 401 three times.
Took 401 twice. It was Shannon and then Neil. And Neil's class, I brought it every day. Like, I was
what
there.
A great person to impress.
I was like, I was just like, this is going to happen. I'm going to, like, and Neil passed, like, eight of us. Shannon passed two that I knew of because none of us ever spoke.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Actually, my Shannon class got, which... Most of my classes that have gotten really, really tight has been in Shannon.
Yeah. Because
my 401 with Shannon and O'Neill is still pretty tight. Which Tony is in, the one that I want to, like, hook
you
up with.
My 401 with Shannon, I actually do two of the people we, like, go to. Like, one of them, her name is Elaine, and she's amazing. She's super funny and just
is
awesome.
Is she redhead?
No.
No, okay.
Elaine Livingston. Okay. She has long, blonde hair. She's from Kentucky. But she like comes to the ladies mic open night mic just to like support me.
She's
just the nicest thing in the world. And another one of, those people, the people from the class is Brian Enk. And he does stand up and stuff. And when I decided to do stand up, I was like, help. And he, you know, he just,
I'm like hands down. Like I feel I'll be terrified of doing stand-up. I like hiding myself behind characters or behind something. I took a storytelling class, and that was like torture for me.
Yeah.
It was like, I remember randomly enough, we were all girls.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone is still like around. And it was just like, who can talk more about themselves? Obviously, it's a storytelling class. But it felt like catty. It felt like, and I was just not me. And I am the type of person that it's like, it's weird because if we are in a group, I normally take, I'm not the leader. I take normally the, like, the follower kind of thing. Or it's like, I just don't like having that center of attention in that way. And, like, talking about myself, I didn't enjoy it.
I think what I learned about stand-up, and this is the silliest thing, you have to write jokes. Like, when I first thought about stand-up, I was like, oh, Louis C.K., he just, like, gets up there and talks.
My God, he's so funny.
That's not what he's doing.
No.
He's telling jokes. Like, there are jokes in there. There are jokes in every little thing. And, like, I took Julie Klausner's solo show class, and she was like, what you need to do is barf out all the information onto a page and then add jokes. And I'm like, oh, so it just doesn't have to be like a funny story. You make it a funny story.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, this stand-up's been great because basically I write down topics that I think are funny and then I try to form them into jokes and I text them to my husband who tells me whether they are too dark or or like messed up or if they're good. And then like he just has like a knack for intonation and like cadence and stuff. So like I sent him this one joke and he called me up. He's like, this is how it should go. And like told me, and I was like, oh my God, you're completely right. And he's not in comedy at all.
But he's an audience.
Yeah.
So he knows.
No, he, yeah. And every time I do a set, I send it to him. Like, I record it and then send it to him. But it's, I did a set where I mentioned blowjobs and him going down on me in my set. And I was like, Mom, my set got a little dirty. Do you still want me to send it to you? And she's like, sure. And then I sent it. I was like, have a beer first. And then she goes, she's like, you should not have sent that to me. She's like, everybody seemed to like it, but you should not have sent that to me.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do?
It's so weird with parents and, like, sex and things like that. I went to see Bruno with my parents.
I saw Brokeback Mountain with my mom.
Like, a love story. I saw Bruno, which is like, there's penises talking and like people, like guys fucking each other and things like that. And I sat between my parents. I didn't realize it was going to be like that type of movie. Yeah, like, no. I know that Sacha Baron Cohen obviously like pushes like everyone, but I think he's fucking hilarious. And I sat between my parents. I was like, oh my God, I'm a little, you know, going to the movies with my parents. And then all of a sudden this movie starts. And because my mom started laughing and she was like, well, she's an adult. Who gives a shit? But my dad was like, he was kind of sitting like a twit, kind of like giving his back to me and like kind of cover his eyes in a way where he was just pretending to be like all like, so like, oh my God, this is not like right. And he would say in Spanish, que barbaridad, which is like, this is insane. But he would start, like, but he would laugh. So he was just acting, like.
That's really funny.
Just because he thinks that, you know, like, I'm still probably, like, 5 years old. And
do your parents live in the city? Or?
They live in Puerto Rico. They live between, like, Puerto Rico. They don't go to Spain that much anymore. My brother lives in Miami. He's married a girl from there. And they've been married for 10 years. And they have 3 kids. So, they go more towards Miami.
When there's grandkids,
you know.
Like, I was the apple of my parents' eye for so long, and now I have a niece, and it's like...
It's all about them.
No, that's it.
I don't think my parents... I can't even remember the last time my parents came. They're coming in 2 weeks, and I'm like, wow, okay.
So have they seen you perform and stuff?
They have. They saw, I think the last time they saw me perform was like in 301.
Yeah.
So they haven't seen
any. Yeah, my parents haven't seen a show in a while.
I don't like when they come.
My mom gets very nervous for me.
I feel like I get nervous. I feel like, I have to be really good. It's something about like, proving that myself to them. And I've proven myself. I wrote a treatment that, get Fox to see it and things like that. Oh, cool. So they, once I gave them the treatment for them to read, they were like, okay, we support you.
Yeah.
Because they really, really enjoyed it. So
I think my parents are like, oh, we're not giving you money, then we're fine.
Right. Very much my case too.
Yeah.
My mom is an artist. She's a painter. Yeah. So
that's really cool.
So she kind of like gets it.
Do you have cool art in your apartment?
I do.
Yeah.
I do have cool art, definitely.
Okay, I have these bare walls. I need something.
I'll hook you up. So
we keep meaning to do it. Like, our first anniversary, we're like, paper, we should get art. And then we're like, that costs money.
Oh my God, I know. We just get like a nice poster from the MoMA or something like that.
We're just gonna go to like TJ Maxx in the now. I'm just kidding.
Hey, that's, you know who has, I don't know, I don't think they have one in
that
the city.
That mirror is from TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx is, like, Target and TJ Maxx are like the best.
Yeah, our night tables are from Target. Ugh. The woman was like, "You're buying furniture from us?"
They're like, "Yeah,
yeah."
I don't know if they have one in the city. There's a store called Z Gallery.
Oh no, I don't know about.
And it's like a furniture store and everything, and they have like cool like prints.
Yeah,
and they come like framed already, which is like.
There's this one art show that comes to the park by the East River, and it came in the fall, and I think this year we'll actually like really look for real. You know, like last year we were just like.
You have to find something that you love.
That's
that you can
true.
Keep forever.
You don't want something that you're not gonna. Be
if you're gonna
with.
Spend like the money. To get artwork, you just have to speak to you guys and like things that you can like have forever.
Yeah. So we've been talking for an hour and 22 minutes.
Oh, my God. I went fast when you're having fun.
So I'm going to ask you the last question.
Yes.
What did you have for breakfast?
I had coffee and toast.
What do you have? Well, how do you take your coffee?
I take my coffee with milk and, like, sugar. I try to make it's sweet compared to, like, American people.
Yeah.
I like my coffee, like, very Puerto Rican. Like, yeah. Café con leche kind of thing. It's like, I'm a coffee drinker in the morning. I sometimes don't eat. Like, I wanted to work out a little bit this morning, so I had, like, toast. But I'm normally the person who has a coffee and doesn't eat till, like.
Yeah. I had to eat at some point today. I had to have yogurt for breakfast. I had, like, Greek yogurt. Kashi and strawberries. That's my, like, health food breakfast. God. But I have coffee every morning. I go to the Starbucks, like, around the corner, and it has an outdoor patio.
What?
It's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So I sit out there, and I like, write and drink coffee because I'm a New Yorker, and that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Of course.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Liz. I had so much fun.
You know, this was great. And I wish I had an ending, you know, something cool to say, but I don't. So,
hey, let's say creepy sexy.
Creepy sexy. Bye.